Welcome in to the Devi Devotional Podcast, a show devoted to all things Devi and C2C. Hosted by John Arrington and Aaron Wilcox, this dynamic duo brings you actionable strategies with player-driven analysis for your Devi and C2C leagues. Let's dive in.
Let's dive in. Welcome to the Devi Devotional, where we stay devoted to Devi. I'm your host, Dynasty Coach A, joined as always by Aaron Wilcox at AaronWilcox86 on Twitter. And tonight we're actually going to be diving into the youth of Devi, that the younger players, the freshmen and sophomores that are kind of standing out, but not the ones that you already know about, not those big name players, the five star players that everyone's been talking about for the past 3 years. We're going to talk about some of the unheralded or under the radar players that are maybe popping up here. Now, some of the names you probably heard, but I'm guessing there's at least a couple that you probably have not, and they should at least be on the radar, if not maybe even players that we're getting a little excited about. But before we get to that, how are you doing, Aaron?
Hey, I am doing good, doing very well. And you're right, some of these players are super exciting, so I'm very excited for this week and excited to just excited to be here tonight.
And I'm excited because it was still well over 100 degrees with the heat index and everything here in Florida today. And honestly, we're not seeing any signs of that changing anytime soon, except a friend of mine that I believe is in Michigan posted a picture, and he's in like the 60s or like the low 70s. And you're not too far from that. And I'm coming to see you. Are going to see you in a week and a half. So, I mean, is the weather better in your area right now? Please give me something to hope for.
Yeah, it depends on your definition of better, but I'm assuming, since it's been so hot down there, I'll give you a little cool stretch. It's about 60 degrees right now. Pretty nice sunny day today, actually. I can't wait. I'm getting married in over just a week, so John is coming up to Minnesota, and it's gonna be a great time.
I can't wait. I can't wait for the weather. Can't wait for the fun and celebrate you guys and everything. So that's gonna be a lot of fun. But why don't we start celebrating some of these younger players? And I guess, should we start with the freshmen because they're less proven, and then we'll go ahead and get in the sophomores that maybe have shown us a little bit more? And Toronto Dave's in the chat, of course, and he says, "Congrats, Aaron," and I'm sure he appreciates that. But you want to go ahead and start with the freshmen here?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the guys that just sticks out right off the bat, he's been a big riser this offseason, is Lenora Sellers, South Carolina quarterback. Just an athletic dude who actually showed some really nice arm talent and just confidence as a true freshman. He just kind of showing out last week. And, I get it. It's garbage time. And you'll probably say the same thing for all these freshmen. Like, most of them got in the game when it didn't really matter that much. But the fact that they're on the field, the fact that they're actually making plays out there, and the coaches trusted them to give them touches, to give them opportunity to show what they have, and they did something with it, that's notable. So Lenora Sellers is definitely a guy who I've seen hyped up. I mean, this could be a good sell opportunity, to be honest, if you really don't believe in him. But at the end of the day, he didn't show us anything with those flashes that should leave us discouraged. So I liked the fact that he was able to get on the field as a true freshman.
Yeah, and I know that it's exciting. Obviously, you want these players, you want to see the players, I love picking up even on small samples and stuff like that. I feel like this one's a trap, though. just looking at the game, and I don't want to hate on the player at all. I don't really even I haven't done a deep dive into him as a prospect beyond the fact that he was a three-star prospect. Obviously, he did a lot of rushing in high school, but he didn't complete a lot of his passes. He had like a 57-58% completion rate in high school. That's not somebody I'm going to be uber excited about, generally speaking. Now, obviously, like I said, he has that rushing aspect, which is what I think a lot of the C2C boys who is that official now? Are we allowed to talk about that now?
yeah, the announcement has stalled, though. We can talk about that, absolutely.
Okay. So we always refer to the C2C boys. I'm pretty sure I call them that here as well as on the Full Tilt Devi Pod. But Aaron is officially now one of the C2C boys as well. So now when I'm talking about the boys, I'm also talking about Aaron. So congrats to him. I actually meant to talk about it on the last pod because it had kind of just happened like right before that, but it kind of slipped my mind. So I'm glad I thought about it this time. But a lot of the Campus of Canton boys, yourself included, were really big into Lenore Sellers, you know, just an exciting prospect and someone that they were saying like could be that like sixth guy and, you know, sixth QB in the class. What I'm concerned about is taking too much from this one game with the four attempts. You know, if you look at it, everything's amazing. I believe he threw, what, two touchdowns on four passing attempts. His adjusted yards per attempt are in the 30s. You know, absolutely insane. Small sample. But then we go and look at Spencer Rattler, who's not very good. You know, who's not someone that we're, you know, thinking is at this point. Now, obviously, years ago, people were thinking that he could have been something. But now we're kind of saying, maybe... You know, maybe he could be a back end, like a third round QB that maybe hits at some point, something like that in the NFL draft. He completed 93% of his passes, Spencer Rattler did, in this game, because it was against Furman. Furman. I can't even click on Furman on Sports Reference because it doesn't exist. It's not even a team, as far as Sports Reference is concerned. 93% of his passage, 345 yards on 27 attempts, three touchdowns. That's Spencer Rattler. So, you know, if you want to get excited about four attempts from Lenore Sellers, by all means, do it. But I'm going to go ahead and hold out here, and I want to see a little bit more than this. And yes, Toronto says Bishop Sycamore. And honestly, Bishop Sycamore might be a better team than Furman at this point.
I love it. I love that reference, and that came to mind as well. But it's not even necessarily just drawing conclusions off of just this game, but the fact that there's been that steady drumbeat of like Lenore Sellers is good. Lenore Sellers is going to be the, you know, the next guy up. And then he does this after, you know, really blowing up as a senior in high school, 62 total touchdowns his senior year. That was great. So at the end of the day, I think he's a guy who's on that upward trajectory. And you know, four attempts doesn't give us a lot, but hey, at least he was looking good. So, why don't you go ahead with some RBs here, or is there one, or do you want to shout out a few that really caught your eye out of these freshmen?
Well, I guess we should probably start off with Dylan Edwards just because, you know, like everyone, he kind of blew up on the scene, you know, blew into the scene with, week one. Everyone was completely out on Colorado, myself included, and then all of a sudden, you know, everyone was kind of in on Colorado. So and then Edwards had this huge week one, not really in the rushing game, but in the receiving department. He showed his explosiveness, but that kind of came back down to earth in week two. So, you know, like it's one of those things where I think he's shown that he does have a little bit of big play potential. However, I don't know that he's shown us he's much of a running back. You know, I haven't really truly seen that yet. So, I guess I'm not overly excited about Edwards, but we do love the receiving, you know, game, the running backs that can play or be a receiver in the game. So we can't hate on that by any means. How do you feel about Edwards through the first two games of his college career?
Yeah, I mean, I think you summed it up pretty well as far as, you know, the guy, he's not going to be the most complete back right away because he's tiny, right? I mean, at the end of the day, what's the size on him? He's like 5. I mean, he's just tiny, 165 or 170-ish. He's like Deuce Vaughn out there. But if we've learned anything from Deuce Vaughn is that in college, at least, they can have, if you have some juice and you're a pretty good football player, well-rounded player, you can demand touches and put up some statistics. So he's a guy where in a Devy league, it's like, don't try to draft him now or don't try to trade for him now if he was drafted. But like at the end of the day in a CFF, C2C type format, I mean, very intriguing as far as, you know, the fact that he had four touchdowns in game one. Yeah, he's not going to sustain that, but he almost had another receiving touchdown this last week. And he was consistently involved, like 11 touches week one, 12 touches week two. He's tied for the lead in carries on the team. He has the clear lead in running back rush yards. He has a clear lead in running back receiving yards. So, I mean, he's showing a lot, not to say that he's going to sustain that, but, you know, for a true freshman, that is certainly something. So I don't know that we're going to see a ton of rushing success out of this team, which seems to be a little bit more pass happy thus far, but ultimately let's keep our eyes on him. Maybe as this like C2C weapon that could emerge within the next year or so.
I also think that their defense is not the greatest, Colorado, that is. And I just wonder how often he's actually going to be able to run, and he might be used well more in that in the receiving game rather than just truly being a running back. But like you said, with his size, I think it was 5'9", 170 is what I saw on 247. So probably not going to be much of a running back for Devy purposes. Yeah, I'm pretty much all out. But he definitely shows some exciting parts to the game. Now, I wanted to bring up a player that I got excited about after week one because, I mean, he blew up. Now, albeit it was in garbage time, but once again, I think a lot of the players that we're going to talk about, especially the freshmen tonight, are going to be in garbage time. So, you have to take it with a grain of salt. But Jaden Lamar, who I know is kind of buried for Oregon, I believe he's like basically the fourth running back on the team. But man, he showed me something in that first game. He had four receptions. He also had, I think it was like 50 rushing yards on 8 attempts. I think it was 51 rushing yards on 8 attempts. 1.5 PPR points per touch, 13% big time run rate. And like I said, the four receptions, it was like 24 yards. It wasn't anything special. But it just, I mean, in one game, in a smallish sample, he kind of showed me everything that I want to see from a player, and he has decent size. He's 5'11", 200. So, for a true freshman, that's perfectly fine. And we would kind of expect him to what get to 215, something around there, 210, 215. It's very easy, and that's like ideal NFL size. Now, you're going to probably say he's kind of buried behind like Dante Dowdle, who's another player we can talk about here. And actually, Dante, we can just talk about it now. Dante Dowdle is very similar, except for he's I think he's a little bit bigger, is he not?
Yeah, he's about 15 pounds bigger.
Yeah, he's a little bit bigger, but he now once again, extremely small sample. They both have 8 rushing attempts. Now he doesn't have any receptions, but through the 8 attempts that he has and everything, so we can't really talk about that. He doesn't have any big time runs, so we can't talk about that. 0% rate through 8 attempts. I'm not going to hate on him for it or anything. 1.4 PPR points per touch, like very similar. 54 rushing yards instead of 51 for Lamar, but we saw the receiving game there. So obviously it's way too soon to try and make any kind of like definitive answer between these two players, but just the fact that we saw a little bit of trust in the receiving game and everything kind of makes me want to be excited about Jaden Lamar. And he's not, I mean, anyone that like any a player that anyone truly talks about or has talked about very often.
Right. And he may be out there on quite a few waivers versus Dante Dowdle, not really. Because Dante Dowdle, he was a better recruit, if you're talking about just like their ratings in most of the recruit services. And Dante Dowdle is a little bit more equipped to be that workhorse. But it's not like Lamar is small, like you said. He's capable. And if he does show that he's a better receiver, better all-around back, there's that potential path. Saying that, I do actually prefer Dante Dowdle just a little bit more just because of the size. Ultimately, I still think he has enough big playability. I think, Audric Estime has shown that these guys sometimes, if they're not complete slugs coming out of high school, basically from the athleticism department, like if you think, yeah, their long speed is questionable, but it's okay. These guys can actually get better. They can actually improve on some of that athleticism, if they're coming into college at a pretty well-developed frame and size already. So they can always slim down and get faster. And I think Dante Dowdle, he has a lot of juice there, a lot of natural talent. So ultimately, both Lamar and Dowdle are definitely on my watch list because we want the Oregon backs. I mean, they're productive year after year. And after, Whittington and Bucky Irving are gone, it's like the next guys up are basically these two. And then Jordan James, who we might talk about later, who kind of also has broken out thus far as well. So a lot of competition there, but like you said, good watch list guy for Lamar if you're not picking him up right away. So speaking of Audric Estime, how about I just get into one of my guys that I wanted to highlight here, Jeremiah Love, Notre Dame back. So after Estime, who's blown up thus far, the second leading rusher is this true freshman, Jeremiah Love. So that's ahead of guys who have more experience in Jabron Payne, Jadarian Price. He's been more efficient than them. He's played a role in every single game. So 3 games so far for Notre Dame, Jeremiah Love has mixed in and looked really good. So ultimately, he was not an early enrollee from my understanding, from my memory. But as soon as he got there in fall camp, they just raved about like how smooth he was on the field. And he's a capable receiving weapon as well. So I think that, you know, once Estime's gone, you know, he's done his thing and monopolized carries there this year. I could see Love being that next guy up at Notre Dame. So he's not on waivers and in leagues. He should not be, but he's definitely a riser for me.
Yeah, and I mean, he had a big part of the game plan in week one, even. You know, like he was a big part of the game plan. And there's nothing to hate on him. Everything, it's a small sample, just like the rest of these guys. But everything that he's done so far leads me to believe that he'll be perfectly fine. He's maybe not like perfectly sized. He's not small either. He's 6'1", 197. I mean, so it's right there. Like technically as of right now, he is a small BMI, but I guess we would expect or suspect that he would gain enough weight to where he'd be viable for Devy purposes and all that kind of stuff. 14% big time run rate so far. No receptions or like less than one reception per game if he has any receptions so far. You know, so that's not the greatest. We want to see him get used, but you know, how often do you truly see that? And we also know that Audric Estime is completely blowing up this season. So, you know, it's not that unheard of that Love isn't going to be used in the receiving game or anything like that.
Right. And I do think it's very interesting that like his height and his weight are variable depending on the site you go to. Like, for example, his BMI comes up significantly if you go to 247 and he's now down at 6'1" and 197. So he weighs in heavier, a little shorter. So it'll be interesting to ultimately see like what he settles in at size wise. But if we're using the rule of like, you know, they can gain 10 to 15 pounds, he'll be in a nice place for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And just actually that talking about height and weight and all that kind of stuff, it brings me back to Dowdle, Dante Dowdle. I am a little concerned because I think you've talked about it in the past, how like has talked about how, you know, there's just not too many guys that are like 6'2", you know, 240 or whatever. And I know Dowdle's technically not there yet, but once again, he's a true freshman. But he's listed as 6'2", I think it was 215 right now. So, I mean, if we expect him to get to that 6'2", 230, possibly even 240 range, you know, if, assuming he has a bigger frame, that kind of thing, you know, at some point, are we going to get a little concerned that you know, he might get to the point where he's not as athletic or, you know, as we would like him to be, like that kind of thing. Like you said, there's just not that many backs that are really that size anymore.
No, you're right. And this year in this class, there's actually two very notable running back prospects coming out in 2024 that are that size, 6'2" and 240 plus. And that's Braylon Allen and Raheem Sanders. Nobody thinks of Rocket Sanders as being that big and that tall, but he is. And both of those guys have actually struggled thus far, which is interesting. interesting to see that. I think a lot of it for Braylon Allen, you know, the new system and kind of the coaching staff feeling out what they have there. But, you know, Raheem, he's really bulked up. Like he put on a bunch of weight kind of suddenly this year. And, you know, I don't know what's going on there. But yeah, ultimately, if these guys balloon out to 240 some, yeah, they can lose some of that athleticism. So just something to always watch with these guys as they develop their bodies and enhance their game.
Yeah, so seeing as how I really picked up on Jaden Lamar in week one, that's what I'm going to use as my reasoning for not liking Dowdle as much, is that we know he's going to blow up in weight and he's just going to lose that athleticism. But let's see, we have another player that is a true freshman in Mark Fletcher. Why don't we go ahead and get to him? He had another big week one, but then kind of died down in week two, where I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, that he actually played really well in week one. And then I don't think he did, or maybe even the rushing game didn't do very much at all, not just him, in week two for Miami there. But with Fletcher, he's actually another one, 6'2", 225 listed as. So like I don't know what's in the water there this year, but we have some big boys. The difference is he actually has a 15% big time run rate so far through, you know, the small sample that he's dealing with. Once again, no receptions through two games, 1.1 PPR points per touch. Like everything's looking pretty good. Only 13 attempts, like nothing too crazy. So but you know, between the size, clearly the athleticism, I would assume everything's looking pretty good for Mark Fletcher there. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that the size part, you're absolutely right. And the athleticism is actually what led a lot of people to start fading him. They had doubts regarding if he's just good enough of an athlete to make it to the NFL. Like, yes, in college, you can be functional as like a 4.6 type of running back. Can you be at the NFL level? But again, we're making the mistake of assuming these guys can't get faster, that they can't, you know, enhance their speed, some of their athleticism in game when they make it to the college level. So ultimately, Mark Fletcher, yeah, he looked good week one. It's Miami of Ohio. I'm not sure how much takeaways we can have from that when he displayed that he wasn't quite ready for a bigger role against Texas A&M, because he was out there a fair amount and he just didn't really get fed very well, or he didn't do very well, to be honest. But at the end of the day, I like Mark Fletcher. He was a guy that I ultimately didn't get any shares of, but I was very interested in throughout the process, because guess what? He's a 4-star. He was a top 10 running back heading into his senior year as far as recruits go. And guess who were the top two schools after him for, I think, most of his junior year? It was Ohio State and Alabama. They were in contention for, let's try to get Mark Fletcher. And ultimately he fell off and he had a couple injuries and things like that, but he's back and ultimately a workhorse size frame. So maybe he'll be another guy who ends up being, you know, maybe slightly too big and not athletic enough. But at the end of the day, you have to be impressed by him at Miami and what he's done thus far. In the future there, it could be his. Absolutely. Like, going forward, as far as a feature back for multiple years, that's kind of fun to look forward to.
Yeah, well, it does actually concern me a little bit, because going back to my research that I was doing during the offseason for DLF for all of the C2C leagues and all of the recruits and all that kind of stuff, I believe it was Miami has had 5 or 6 players that were in that top 20 of the recruit class. And I don't even know if Fletcher was in the top 20 or not, but he was definitely a higher recruit. But Miami had 6 players that were top 20 over the past, 7 years, and 0 of them hit in the NFL or have hit in the NFL. So that is a little concerning. Also, Miami's been kind of struggling, and they seem to be doing a little bit better this year. But like you were saying, he only had 4 rushing attempts for, I believe it was 6 yards in week 2 against Texas A&M. Now that's not great, but at the same time, like, they didn't really do all that well. Like, a Jay Allen had 5 attempts for 22 yards. That's obviously better. And then Henry Parrish had 10 rushing attempts for 50 yards. So nothing truly amazing from anybody in that game, but obviously the 1.5 yards per carry, from Fletcher was not exactly exciting there. So obviously at this point we just have to kind of wait and see. We saw some excitement in week 1. Not so much in week 2, but we really just got to wait and see what happens. That's actually one of the reasons why I picked up a Jay Allen in a C2C league in like one of the last rounds, because I was like, man, there's just no one truly proven there. So like, who's to say that it's not going to be him? Like, it's not even, I'm not even saying like he's this amazing player or anything. He's at least getting some run, albeit not looking like anything amazing while doing it.
That's fair. And speaking of guys who have been, I guess, you know, propped up or at least like on the radar because of some garbage time opportunity. A couple guys we don't really need to spend any time on, but Jamarius Haynes, Clemson running back, a guy who had a little bit of hype over the summer. It was very small amounts, but a couple people were starting to catch on to him. And then also Caleb Hicks, running back at Oklahoma. And both guys, you know, display some things, based on their high school film or production. But Hicks wasn't actually that productive, but he looked really good in high school. Ultimately, those guys could be next up at Oklahoma, next up at Clemson. But, you know, it's just one game. They didn't get a lot of run, a lot of opportunity, and it's blowouts. So just want to name drop those two guys. Just, you know, put them on your watch list, maybe pay attention to them in the future. But one guy who's actually done really well, we would be remiss not to mention his breakout this last week. And it wasn't garbage time. It was the whole game. Though I didn't actually watch this game, sadly, is Darius Taylor, Minnesota running back. And he really, really blew up in week 2 after not really having a big role in week 1, but he exploded against Eastern Michigan. And like I said, it wasn't just a couple of carries, like 33 carries in a lead back role for Minnesota. And he is, you know, 5'11", 195 or so. Ultimately, I think he could be what Minnesota needs as far as just being their most, explosive back, because the guys, the upperclassmen ahead of them, like we mentioned on last week's podcast, are just, they're not going to get it done. If the coaches kept rolling them out, it's just going to be such a tough offense to watch. It already is. And then Darius Taylor actually gives them some hope. So I like the fact that he's already breaking out in week two as a true freshman for Minnesota.
Yeah, honestly, of all these guys that we have listed here today, of all the freshmen that we have listed so far, he's really one of the only ones that I actually have kind of like ranked well at this point, just because we haven't truly seen enough from any of the other players. You know, we've seen those 33 attempts this past game, almost 200 yards, touchdown, two receptions. Okay, you know, nothing too crazy there, but not terrible either. And, you know, like he did just about everything that you would want to see him do. Now, I will say, like, he wasn't all that much better than Sean Tyler, who had 17 touches for 93 yards at a 5.5 clip instead of a 5.8 clip for Darius Taylor. But he's also a true freshman, so, you know, maybe we can give him a little bit of leeway there. Like I said, I'm not saying he's number one for running backs or anything like that overall, but he's definitely up there, and he showed that he should be on rosters. He should be at least on Debbie radars, like that kind of thing. So I like the call there. And the only thing you were, I didn't really touch on Hicks and Haynes there that you had talked about, but with Haynes, are you a little concerned about the size? Because, I mean, obviously we know that these guys, true freshmen, they can gain a little bit of weight, but I believe it was 6 foot, let's see, I have 6'1", 188 for Jamarius Haynes. So, that's a little tiny. Although, I mean, it was 6 foot frame. Hopefully he can gain some weight. Maybe get closer to that 200 range by the time he's all said and done.
Yeah, I am hopeful for that weight gain for sure. But by no means do I think he's like the favorite to be the guy next year. But just a quick watch list type guy. Because I agree, the weight is a little bit of an issue. But speaking of another guy who has a weight issue, Jeremiah Cobb, and he's an Auburn freshman running back. And he's actually, you know, bulked up more than I thought he would be. I'm still skeptical that he's in the 190 range, but I think he's 185 still. Honestly, the guy was so thin in high school. He looked like he was like 170 soaking wet. And this isn't like short, like built. This was like stick thin, like 6 foot, super skinny. I'm still a little bit skeptical, and that's why I didn't draft him in leagues, because he was a really good running back recruit, like a top 10 guy in most recruiting services. People like Jeremiah Cobb because he's an explosive player, and he's flashed that thus far for Auburn. I think he's an interesting future play if he can continue to develop that body, potentially getting up to like 195, 200 by next year. That would be awesome for him. Ultimately, we probably shouldn't write him off if he's now in the 190 range.
Yeah, I like that. You know, I have him almost tied with Jeremiah Love right now. So, you know, like obviously the sample's so small that you can, these things will change quickly. But as of right now, you know, all we can go off of is what we have here. And actually somebody that I have a little bit ahead of those guys, tied with Dylan Edwards right now in the model, is Treyon Webb out of Florida. And so I know that, you know, we're decent size, 5'11", 200 already. Love to see that. 7% big time run rate. Okay. One reception per game. Okay. 1.4 PPR points per touch. And, you know, like Florida is terrible. Florida's offense is terrible. Trevor Etienne was able to kind of get things going this past week. And obviously, Treyon Webb was as well. But man, you know, just the fact that they're able to do anything on that Florida offense, or with that Florida offense, is actually pretty telling. So I'm kind of getting excited about him, even though I don't want to get excited about another Florida player, because I can't even start Trevor Etienne hardly in my C2C leagues. Like, you know, I stare at him like, I should be playing this guy, and I can't do it.
I know. Yeah, the ETN thing is just so sad. And ultimately, Treyon Webb, it's like a future play, hoping that Florida gets it figured out, right? And ultimately, like you said, he has a lot of things going his way. And surprisingly, bulked up a bit too, about 210 pounds, it shows. And ultimately, I liked him as a recruit. I drafted him in one C2C league. Really excited to have him as like just a late round dart throw. And that's sometimes why you just say, yeah, he's athletic, he's a fairly good recruit going to SEC school, like some of your research has shown before, John. It's like not a bad bet to make. And ultimately people thought he was buried. Yeah, they might be right to a degree, but he's showing that he's a good player. Like good players are going to get on the field one way or another. So honestly, a solid recruit, solid athlete, solid size, all of that. And he could be the number two guy there this next year. So yes, Treylon Webb has got to be on your watch list.
Yeah, and actually, you know, I spent so much time researching all of this stuff over the summer that I really didn't spend a lot of time researching recruits. And I think, you know, now thinking back in hindsight, I didn't want to be overly invested in the early rounds for these unproven freshmen and stuff like that. But late in these drafts, that's when we should be going after some of these guys. And I will completely admit that I did not do a good enough job of diving into these prospects to get some of these later guys like a Treylon Webb and you know, like even, you know, players like that, like even like a Jeremiah Love or whoever. Like I just didn't
like
do
Darius
enough research.
Taylor.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah,
I mean, Zach Evans for Minnesota was maybe an example of why people were hesitant because they thought, oh, he's the next young guy up at Minnesota. But honestly, just take a dart throw late in drafts. Like you're probably not going to be getting a superstar there anyways if you're getting a guy who's been in college football like 3 years already. Like, I mean, you might be, right? I mean, if you have good resources, you have good process. But at the end of the day, sometimes, yeah, just take a couple of young dart throws and they can really blow up. And we'll see how many of these guys truly blow up. But, you know, I think Darius Taylor was a good example of that. Like, and you mentioned some other guys. We've talked about quite a few already here.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's what I'm going to be focused on next year is really trying to dive deep on some of those prospects that truly no one's talking about, but they're meeting some of those thresholds, you know, size, weight, SEC running back, like that kind of thing. You know, and once we get those kind of things, and you know, maybe even like, who was it? Was it Amarion Peterson from USC? Is that his name?
Amarion Peterson. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like obviously he hasn't done anything yet and we probably don't even expect him to do anything. And somebody that we'll probably be talking about, not tonight, but we'll be talking about a different, actually, I think I'm talking about it on the Full Tilt Debbie pod. That's where I saw it on the show sheet in about 20 minutes. We'll be talking about USC and their players. But that program hits so well that those are the kind of guys that you want to hit on or try and get hit on late, because if he doesn't hit, not the end of the world. You know, it wasn't a third round pick or whatever, but if he hits, man, you're gonna be feeling pretty damn good. But I think that's it for the running backs. Actually, we're probably gonna have to, you know, to speed it up here a little bit. So why don't we dive into the wide receivers here? And I honestly don't think there's too many guys that we need to talk about here. But I think, you know, once again, we can start with Florida. The passing offense is just terrible. So, you know, there's not too much to glean here, but we do have a couple receptions, like with the high yards per reception for Eugene Wilson. And, you know, I think that that's something that we like to see. We're just going to have to see if it actually continues here.
Yeah, exactly. With this list of wide receivers, it's just like, it's not a lot to hang your hat on. It's not necessarily anything that we should be, you know, spending all of our fab to get some of these guys. But, well, I guess if Eugene Wilson is on your waiver wire, yeah, spend that fab up for sure. But ultimately, like you said, not a large sample size, but the fact that he's getting on the field for Florida is promising because he is a playmaker out there and it's a poor offense. So don't let, you know, that's one of the instances where you might apply the context of, well, he's not getting maybe as many huge plays as you'd like for an explosive, talented player, but understand that the offense can hold some of these guys back at times. So another guy who has flashed a little bit, but maybe not like the huge efficiency, huge big plays yet, but Jaquazi Petaway, Oklahoma wide receiver, he got out there in garbage time. He was just playing in that blowout game. And ultimately I just like the fact that he was involved. And he was a good recruit too.
And you know, I love to ruin names. So like, I see it as Jaquazi, but I really want to say Jaquazi for some reason. And so that's probably what I'm going to go with, because you know, I love to ruin names. So Jaquazi Petaway here from Oklahoma. You know, I like what I've seen so far. And actually, you know, with him though, it's just, like you said, it's kind of garbage time. the market share isn't quite there for, you know, like getting overly excited or anything. But there is a player that I kind of getting excited here about, and it's London Humphreys out of Vanderbilt. And, you know, the thing is, it's kind of crazy because people have gotten kind of hyped about Will Shepard. Now we're getting hyped about Jaden McCowan that we'll talk about here in a little bit. And now I'm telling you to get hyped about a third wide receiver out of Vanderbilt. Like, who would have ever seen this coming? London Humphreys. But, you know, I just talked about a 9% market share with Jacquazi there. Now we have a 20% market share for Humphreys as a true freshman. 4.99 PPR points per touch, 54 yards per game, 4.97 yards per team pass attempt. Like, obviously, it's the smallest of samples, but he had 164 yards receiving, I believe, in week two. Now, you know, they didn't play anyone, so, you know, it's like, it's not you know, it's, but hey, he got on the field and he did what he was supposed to do, and it's Vanderbilt. You know, we can only get as excited as we can get. So somebody that should be on radars at the very least. I'm not saying go out, run out, get him, add him onto your Devy rosters or anything like that, but definitely keep an eye on him, because we were probably saying very similar things about Jaden McGowan last year around this time. Like, hey man, he could be something. And so keep an eye out there for London Humphreys.
Yeah, and thanks for bringing, I guess, my attention to him as well, because not a guy I was really considering, because like you said, there's a couple options ahead of him, and then you take into consideration like the crazy schedule that Vanderbilt always plays down the stretch, where it's like SEC Central, right? It's the Kentucky, Missouri, Florida, Georgia, Ole Miss, Auburn, South Carolina, and Tennessee run there. It just kind of ruins it as far as, you know, from like a CFF starting standpoint, but that doesn't mean that this freshman can't do some work there. So that's a good call out there. And another guy who, you know, it should be encouraging that he has a share of the offense. He hasn't necessarily blown up with that yet, but Mikey Matthews, Utah wide receiver, who was a pretty good recruit actually. And I remember some people liking him, and I liked the film, but I didn't really like the landing spot, to be honest. And I mean, I still don't like the landing spot for passing, but he's been involved early on, second on the team in receiving yards and twice as many receptions as anyone else on their roster. Mikey Matthews has been involved for Utah. He just hasn't been explosive yet. So we need to see that element, but at least, you know, from a true freshman standpoint, and even going back to high school, like he was a fairly exciting player. So ultimately, am I saying he's going to be a superstar? No, but he could be definitely like a lead guy in that offense for years to come if this, you know, early rate continues. And I don't see any reason why he won't continue to be involved.
Yeah, that 26% market share is pretty nice. The only thing I'm a little concerned about is the yards per reception right at 10. That's not what I love to see. You know, it makes me believe that he's just not overly athletic or anything like that. And so I do worry about that kind of stuff. But, you know, small samples, maybe it's just how, you know, these plays have happened. And sometimes when it's a very small sample, sometimes it could be that he scored a touchdown, you know, and so he had 3 yards per reception on that one play or whatever it might be. So it definitely can skew things when you're dealing with those samples. But he's actually third on my list for me. So it's Humphreys, blank, and then Mikey Matthews. And the blank for me is Creed Whittemore. And, you know, I know that he is a little smaller, not exactly the, you know, like, I mean, he's not like teeny tiny or anything like that either. He didn't actually do much, if anything, in week two, but in week one, he kind of blew up with, you know, a decent game there. And I just think that he's somebody that needs to be on radars as well. He showed explosiveness. He showed, you know, he had almost 15 yards per reception. He had 116 receiving yards. I think he had a couple touchdowns. Like, you love to see that. Now, I don't love the fact that he wasn't used or hardly, if at all, in week two. But, you know, if we can see any kind of continuation moving forward, then he's definitely somebody that should be on radars.
Yeah, good point there. And I was just curious, going back to Mikey Matthews too, like how athletic did I think he was in just my notes, my evaluation breakdown of him. And basically I was like, solid is how I like to describe the athleticism, right? Nothing maybe too special there. But at the same time, I described him as a yak player, and I could see him being a guy who really thrives in a slot role. And I mean, is that getting you excited? I don't know, but a John Metchie type is what I said is kind of his ceiling. So, you know, some potential there.
Yeah, and I was never a Metchie fan, you know that. So that does not get me overly excited. And then the last player for the freshmen before we dive into the sophomores here is Luke Haas, H-A-S-Z. So you can say that however the hell you want. But tight end out of Arkansas hasn't really done, you know, truly too much just yet, but. You know, I guess any kind of tight end that's doing anything we can get excited about, especially a true freshman tight end that's doing something. So I think that while he hasn't done, you know, too much just yet, we can at least once again have him on our radars.
Yeah, I agree. And nothing really to add there other than, you know, he's got sufficient size to him and people were onto him based on the fact that he was involved, I think, in the spring. Like over the summer, there was good buzz around him and, you know, he's already showing that he's evolved. So good for him. Good for Luke Haas.
Absolutely. All right, let's dive into the sophomores because we don't have too much time left before I have to switch over. And hopefully you guys will switch over with me to the Full Tilt Devi Pod. We're going to be talking about some different stuff than what we talked about tonight. So, you know, we're doing a lot of Devi talk tonight. But why don't we dive into the sophomore QBs here? Obviously, we're desperate for QBs at all times, especially in C2C, but also in Devi. We want those QBs that are going to be the next hits. I'm not sure that these players are those are that, but I also think that, you know, I actually just added one in my C2C for a C2C team today in a 3QB league where I, you know, I'm kind of excited, at least for the college purposes. But I see with Thomas Castellanos that, you know, there's certain things that we can point to and say it could be, he could be decent. He could have Devi viability at some point. It's not quite there yet, but, you know, once again, he's a sophomore, you know, and not the greatest team for Boston College, you know, so like there's things to be concerned with, but there's also some things that are looking nice. You know, he has almost 10 intended air yards per pass attempt, 3.5 big time throw rate, 0.77 PPR points per touch. But then, you know, we get into a 1.5% interception rate. That's great. You know, like you love to have anything 1.5 or lower. But then 7.7 yards per rush attempt. So he actually has some running, you know, running nature to his game and everything. The adjusted yards per attempt are not amazing. The QBR is decent. So like right now he's kind of he's that middling guy. But like I said, for C2C purposes, he's scoring a lot of points. You know, he's viable for that. And I'm hoping that at some point he could take a step forward and possibly be Devi viable as well.
Yeah, that would be really fun to see that step forward. And I don't have a lot to add just because I haven't thoroughly evaluated him, but there's some promising things early on for sure. And the athleticism is likely there. It seems like it's there.
Yeah. Now, speaking about Vanderbilt, we also have AJ Swan here. When was the last time a podcast talked about, like, what, three or four Vanderbilt guys in one podcast? Probably hasn't happened in quite some time. But AJ Swan is kind of doing the same thing that Castellanos is doing, where, you know, like at least he's putting up points in for college purposes. But once again, 5.8% big time throw rate. The intended air yards are a little lower at 8.7, so we'd like to see that come up a little bit. It's a little bit more of a dink and dunk than like pushing it down the field, big plays like that kind of thing. But let's see, 1.7% interception rate, so that's good. He's being safe with the ball. He's not much of a runner, 1.1 yards per carry, so you know that's not going to be part of his game. Obviously, we'd love to see that with Castellanos. But then the adjusted yards per attempt, right around 8.1. That's kind of like the minimum threshold for what I like to see for Devi purposes. I really like to see anything above, you know, 9, 10, like that kind of thing. But like 8s are decent. I can deal with 8s as long as you're doing other things well. Like I said, he doesn't really have the rushing part to his game. The QBR is not the greatest there in the 60s. So, you know, like, I don't know that he's really Devi viable either, but how do you feel about him?
No, I agree. Definitely not Devi viable. Just a watchless guy. And I'm just really intrigued to see how he's going to handle some of those tougher games, because this is not your Vanderbilt of old, I guess. Like the passing offense is more promising than in the past. And ultimately I want to see if he can continue to improve on, you know, some of the success he's seen thus far, or are they just going to just get outplayed, quite frankly, by superior competition. So there's probably something to be said about, is he ever going to be super CFF relevant? Probably not. Is he going to be a NFL stud prospect? Probably not. So should we roster him? You know, probably leans towards no, but ultimately if you're in some of those deep leagues where you start three quarterbacks or you know, really, really need to hit at quarterback, not even saying that big time hit, but just get a guy on your roster. You could do worse than AJ Swan. So ultimately, watch list guy, not a priority pickup necessarily, but he's flashed some things. I just want to see if he continues to improve, because he has good size athleticism necessarily, but he's good frame, good at least pocket passer type.
Yeah, he's got the build to be a QB. He just doesn't have the talent to be one.
Well, he's definitely not going to be like a Lamar Jackson out there, that's for sure.
No, definitely not. That's it. That's all we have for the QB. So if you're hoping to get a bunch of QB analysis here, that was definitely not going to happen. Unfortunately, you know, just like we saw with the 2025 class, you know, now we're starting to see them break, or I'm sorry, the 2024 class. Now we're starting to see them break out this year, whereas, you know, we really didn't see too much of that before.
I have a fun question for you. AJ sure. Swan or Cade Klubnik?
Oh, man. I mean, I guess it depends if we're talking Devi or C2C. That's gross, man. That's really gross. I think I'd have to go with Swan.
See, I'm just going for Klubnik just based on like name talent, right? I always assume that some of those guys you can still trade even with how, you know, truly bad he's looked.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Like people hold on to hope. We saw it with Keaton Slovis, Jackson Dart, I mean, Spencer Rattler for the longest time. Even DJU, you know, got quite a bit of love from people when he shouldn't have been. Even, you know, now people are talking about him because he's looked a little bit better now that he's moved over to the Pac-12 and everything. So like who knows?
Devin Leary, and you just kind of, names keep going down the list. And
absolutely. But either way, it's gross. So actually, there's some decent running backs here that we have. And like I said, you know, whereas with the freshman, it was all small sample. He could be potentially that kind of thing. We might be getting into, I mean, a lot of these players are still that, but there's a couple of the players here, and we'll probably have to run through them pretty quickly, but there's some that actually might be getting into, like, Devi viability. Like, we can actually say that. And we have, the list that we have here is Amarian Hampton out of UNC, TJ Harden, UCLA, Ollie Gordon, Oklahoma State, Jordan James, Oregon, Dylan Sampson that we've talked about recently, Tennessee, Damari Alston, Auburn, Damon Claiborne, Wake Forest, and Victor Rosa. And I don't know if you just put him on there for me or if you truly believe that that he could be Devi viable at some point out of UConn. But, you know, who truly stands out? And I think I know who you're going to choose here, but who truly stands out from that list?
I mean, I could go with my guy, Amarian Hampton, right? I love him, and I'm not going to. You know, you go check out my Twitter page, and I've tweeted out a couple of things just saying, you know, but what he's done so far, it's been impressive for sure. But is he going to be the workhorse this year? I don't know, with British Brooks hopefully coming back off an injury. So we can go along to other guys. I'll actually highlight Damari Alston here, Auburn back. Maybe not what most people would have expected there, but honestly, just as like an under the radar type guy, Jarquez Hunter, he gets the recognition there. I get it, because I mean, Jarquez, just if you're looking at the talent itself, great talent. Ultimately, is he just, you know, wasting that talent on like off the field issues? And I don't even know what the heck else, but is that going to be a split backfield there? Is Jarquez Hunter bouncing after this year? Those are things that make me think, well, Damari Alston, he's looked pretty good thus far, and he has that workhorse type size to him, and he was a good recruit. He's efficient enough. In fact, he was more efficient than Hunter overall, and he was more involved compared to Hunter as a receiver this last game. So this most recent game. So like Elston's got some things going for him. Does he have the juice? Does he have like the long speed of like a NFL star back? No, but neither does Amarian Hampton, right? Right. Some of these guys, they have their flaws, and that's why they've been maybe pushed down the ranks. Ultimately, there are some very interesting things about Damari Elston that I think we should consider rostering him in a C2C, or maybe if you have a really, really deep Devy league, you're keeping an eye on him, as Auburn does, you know, put out kind of these workhorse type backs, even though, you know, we don't have the best taste in our mouth with the Tank Bigsby from this last year and last few years.
I don't know. He's the goal line back for the Jags. Woo. I still like, people just fell in love with Tank and they can't get over it. Like, he looked absolutely terrible this weekend for the Jags. And yet people are like, oh man, it's Tank. He's going to be the goal line back. Okay, great.
You know what? Damari Elston would be a big riser if we called him Tank Elston.
Oh, Tank Elston. Yeah, I like it. I like it. Honestly, I'm a little concerned about Tank Elston. I think that, I mean, he only has, let's see, what does he have here? 34 rushing attempts, and you know, including receptions here. He actually does have two receptions per game, so like, that's great. I like to see that. But he has a 4% big time run rate, and out of all the players that we've talked about here tonight, 34 attempts is probably one of the bigger samples that we have. And obviously, with Amarian Hampton and like T.J. Harden and guys like that, they have more rushing attempts there. But 4% is just not going to cut it. You know, like, something's got to give. And while it's not the biggest sample, you know, you like to see these young guys really truly break out in a big way early and often. And you kind of touched on his athleticism and everything. I feel like he might be pretty damn slow.
Yeah, I don't think he's a burner by any means. So if you're looking for that, if you're a guy who's really drawn to guys who have, you know, four-ish speed, you know, guys that are super fast, no. I mean, I think that he could be a workhorse type back, and there's value in that, but kind of knowing maybe the capped upside too there, that's obviously good to know. So you bring up a good point, and ultimately, you know, are we going to expect a lot of explosive plays out of Auburn? Probably not, right? Their offense is just so dreadful. So, I mean, if Jarquez can, you know, provide that explosive play ability that he's shown the last few years, he probably will take over back as that lead back for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of saw that Jarquez came back, you know, this in week one. He didn't have too many touches or anything, but he's kind of back to what he was in the past, but not quite the explosiveness. So, you know, who knows? We kind of got to wait and see here with all that. But one player that I'm getting a little excited about with, looks like he does have athleticism, you know, 1.4 PPR points per touch, 2 receptions per game, 13% big-time run rate is Ollie Gordon out of Oklahoma State. And so I don't know how you're really truly feeling about him, but another big boy, 6'1", 211 is what I have him listed at. And yet, you know, we see the explosiveness. We see, you know, the receiving parts of the game, 93 rush attempts. So, you know, it's a bigger sample than what we've seen with a lot of these players. So we're starting to see who this player could possibly be. And you know, I don't have him that far behind Amarian Hampton at this point. So how do you feel about Ollie Gordon?
Okay. I mean, that's pretty high rankings if he's near Amarian Hampton there. And I guess
he's not right next to him, but I mean, he, like, at least with this list, he's next in line. But I mean, he's probably like a tier below him.
Right. And I would agree. Yeah. Ollie Gordon, a little bit lower, but still a guy who's interesting because we know that Oklahoma State loves to feature backs. And I can't remember the guest. I'm sorry to the guest who went on C2C. And it was one of their intro segments where they're kind of introducing newer analysts. And basically, Ollie Gordon was the shout out. Like, he's going to have a breakout season. He's going to have a big time rushing role and put up some insane stats. And I don't know if he's going to do the insane production, but he's at least going to look fine this year, right? And he's a guy who has that size. I've never really thought of him as being that explosive. So I do think that, you know, he's going to be similar to Damari Elston. He doesn't play in the SEC, so he's not going to have, you know, quite the same defensive attention. He's going to play in a better offense than that, hopefully. So he'll look more explosive for sure. And he's got the size to him. So there's things going Ollie Gordon's way after being a pretty good recruit as well. So I like that shout out. And we don't necessarily need to get into like the Jordan James, but I thought that's actually where you're going to go with that. As far as, you know, after Bucky Irving, Noah Whittington, we talked about the Oregon freshman backs before, but Jordan James seems like, you know, he's a step up. He has a leg up on those guys at this moment in time, at least. And he was a good recruit. He was an athletic enough back with good size coming out last year. So Jordan James, definitely the forgotten guy in that Oregon backfield, it seems, this year.
Yeah, I might actually be concerned about James getting passed up by either Dottle or Lamar or both, just because, you know, you said he's athletic enough, but, you know, the 5% big time run rate, you know, it's not that far ahead of Tank Alston that we talked about, you know, recently, you know, at the 4%. So when I see that, I just truly lose belief that a guy is athletic, you know, because not to say that it's the end all be all. He has 64 rushing attempts. Like, things can change. It could be small sample, whatever. But I do believe that he, you would see what you see the big runs from these players very early on, very quickly. It doesn't take much, especially with the smaller sample players, because most of the time it's in cleanup duty. You know, it's in garbage time. And so you're usually going to see these huge plays come from those players. And so when you don't see it in those small samples, I get pretty nervous. Now, that's not to say that I expect Ollie Gordon to stay at 13% for a big time run rate. Like, that's almost unheard of. You know, just like TJ Harden that we can get into here in a little bit is at 12%. I don't expect that to continue. But, you know, when you're at that 13%, you can drop down to 8%, 9%, whatever, and be fine. When you're at 5% in a small sample, then I get worried, what the hell are you going to drop down to in a large sample, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's fair with Jordan James. He has looked better this year. So ultimately, I'm just, you know, betting on the fact that the guy improved, as we know football players can from time to time. Ultimately, he's got the size, he's got the leg up, and the coach's trust ahead of these freshmen. Like you said, is it going to last? I don't know. But a guy you definitely need to highlight after he's been buried. I mean, people just kind of jumped him. This happens sometimes if a guy doesn't truly go off his freshman season. People prioritize the freshmen who are coming in the next year, and understandably so, because usually the good players flash. But ultimately, James is kind of buried there, so ultimately let's look at him. And one last guy before we just jump into any remaining wide receivers or tight ends, Dylan Sampson, Tennessee back. We would be, you know, very sad if we didn't mention him, just because guy that both of us have drafted him in leagues. You were very high on Dylan Sampson from the beginning when he started to pop in your model, after, you know, not a lot of playing time as a true freshman, but enough in mop-up duty in these kind of late time opportunities to say, hey, this guy's got some juice. Let's see what happens. And ultimately that gamble so far is kind of paying off. I mean, he wasn't really involved in week two, which was a bummer because I started him in a league, which I didn't have many other options, but his week one was phenomenal. And I mean, do we have to give a little bit more credit to a guy who, like Dylan Edwards, who scored a lot of touchdowns in week one? Is it sustainable? Well, we have to say the same type of thing with, you know, how sustainable was Dylan Sampson's touchdowns and scoring for Tennessee in week one? But at the end of the day, hey, Tennessee's got so many good backs there. They've have bigger guys, but they trusted Sampson to be in there around the goal line in those scoring opportunities. So that has to mean something. So ultimately, a guy with some juice and could be next up after this season at Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, I was excited about him, you know, and during the offseason. Then I got really excited about him after week one. Like you said, the excitement's come down a little bit from the week two game. But, you know, I think the running game in general kind of fell apart in week two. So it's not to say that it was all Sampson or anything like that. And like he's been the goal line back, so it's kind of crazy. I don't know why. It doesn't really truly make any sense. And I think Jabari Small needs to get the hell out of here. But I do think that, like you said, at the very least, he could be the next man up next year, because Small and Wright should be gone. And then at that point, you know, obviously, you know, you're going to have I can't remember the freshman's name right now. But, you know, Dylan Sampson should be in the mix when it's all said and done. And then we kind of touched on everybody else as far. Oh, Victor Rosa. We got to talk about Victor Rosa. Now he's at UConn, you know, obviously not really the greatest situation or anything like that. But I'll tell you, for C2C purposes, great play. And I do think there's some Devy viability possibly there. Now I've been burnt by the small school programs before with these running backs, so I don't want to get overly hyped, and I'm not getting overly hyped. I mean, I have, you know, Amarian Hampton, Ollie Gordon, T.J. Harden, Jordan James, and ahead of Victor Rosa, but he's there. As the next player. So I don't really, you know, I don't hate it either. We would probably need to see a pretty damn good career out of him for it to like truly become Devy viable. But like I said, for C2C purposes, it's actually looking pretty damn nice. Cameron Seldon. Thank you, Mike. Mike Valerie, Dirty Mike on Twitter. Cameron Seldon, Cam Seldon. Yes, that is the player that I could not remember. You know, Dylan Sampson is so much better that, you know, I just didn't even, I don't even think about the riffraff there.
Mike to the rescue. Shout out Mike. Love it. But yeah, I think Rosa last year really didn't, you know, get my attention because he wasn't as efficient. And then this year, okay, he's picking it up a little bit, though. To be honest, this last week it's like 1.7 yards per carry, zero, you know, rushing touchdowns. You know, it just kind of fizzled out a little bit more. So I'm just wondering if we're kind of running into that small sample trap and he's more like what he did, you know, as a true freshman. We'll see. Good shout out there for CFF and C2C purposes and Damon Claiborne, TJ Harden, also guys to consider, but we don't really have time to get into them. Why don't you just touch on any points about the wide receivers here that we have? A couple of very interesting sophomore players. Are you muted?
I am, sorry. But we already talked about Vanderbilt so much tonight that I don't think we need to truly talk about Jaden McGowan so too much. But, you know, he's looked pretty damn good through two seasons here. Vanderbilt is getting some hype. Obviously, we've talked about quite a few of those players. And so definitely somebody that should be on radar. Noah Thomas for Texas A&M kind of blew up in week one, didn't have nearly as much of a week two, but, you know, they also had a tougher opponent. They lost to Miami there in week two and everything. So, but as a sophomore, Noah Thomas, or as a freshman, Noah Thomas showed me some things where I was kind of excited about him, even though he was considered the fourth option for Texas A&M. All of a sudden, he blew up in week one and actually looked pretty damn good. So I really want to see a little bit more coming out of that, coming from that. And I love that I already had him on my C2C rosters because I didn't have to go pay for him in waivers. And then you had added Wesley Grimes to the list. And honestly, like I'm not all that excited about Grimes there. But you know, how are you feeling about Wesley Grimes for Wake Forest?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised about the Grimes thing, just because, I mean, he is a very big time player as far as like as a high school producer. He was a guy who outproduced Nathan Leacock. Everybody was excited about Leacock coming into college, going to Tennessee. It's like, well, Wesley Grimes did it first, and Leacock didn't break out until Grimes left. So, I guess when you break down what he did as a true freshman. Yeah, not really impressive, but ultimately he was impressing throughout the spring, entire spring, summer. There was a steady beat of like he's making a push to be, you know, very involved in this offense, and those coaches they kind of like these veterans. They like the veterans to, you know, give them more of the opportunities for whatever reason. And Wesley Grimes has just always been vying for more opportunity there. And honestly, second leading in yards so far and best yards per reception of that receiving core this season. And we know that Wake Forest likes to throw the ball from a CFF upside standpoint. It's definitely there with a sprinkle of NFL possibility for sure. So am I saying he's a stud? No, he's a potential CFF star in the next couple of years because we know that those Wake Forest guys, they wait their turn, then they finally break out a few years in, and he's already starting to just, you know, flash that he's going to be consistently involved in that offense. So I'm pretty optimistic as far as having him as like a deep stash in leagues, but no, am I saying Devy stud? Yeah, it's early for that. CFF stud. Yeah. Very potentially in his future.
Yeah. And I shouldn't like, actually the numbers don't look bad for him. Like the market share and all that kind of stuff are decent for him. But before we jumped on the pod, you know, I just looked at his season just to see who he played against and all that kind of stuff. In week one, he had his best game, 3 receptions for 76 yards and a touchdown against Elon. He's, you know, apparently Elon Musk has a team, and you know, they're, and they played, you know, everyone hates Elon Musk now with Twitter and what he's done and everything. So I have to assume the team's terrible too. It's another team that I can't click on because it doesn't actually exist for sportsreference.com. So, you know, he blew up 25.3 yards per reception. Week two, he plays Vanderbilt, you know, not the greatest team, but an SEC team, albeit. And he has three receptions for 40 yards and zero touchdowns. So I'm going to go ahead and just say, like, I'm willing to hold out and see if he can actually put it all together against, like, decent competition, because so far I haven't seen anything that, like, truly excites me.
Yeah, yeah, and that's definitely fair. I didn't see how the other wide receivers did in that game, but I know he wasn't, like, the lead guy. I think he's, what, second fiddle to Keyshawn Williams, and Jamal Banks was third, and yeah. So ultimately, I think he's still a guy who has a lot of room to grow into that role in the future.
Absolutely. That's enough for the wide receivers. And getting into the tight ends, I guess there actually is one that I'm excited about here. And I mean, excited is, it's tight end. So, take that with a grain of salt. But Amari Niblack out of Alabama is actually looking like, you know, he could be like the next big thing for Bama as far as their tight ends. And obviously, like, he's going to be on the radars and everything just because he's at Bama. But, you know, that passing offense has not been anything special, or especially this past game. And, you know, Jalen Milroe looked absolutely terrible after, like, people were like, oh, maybe Milroe's the guy, you know, like, after playing, like, nobodies who at Middle Tennessee State and like, teams like that. Then they actually go play an actual team. And it's like, oh, wait, no, he's absolutely garbage. But Niblack had, I think, like, two receptions, you know, like, some bigger athletic, you know, plays like that. And so it's somebody, once again, I'm not getting overly hyped about, but somebody I at least want to have on my radar, star him, get him on a watch list, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair for sure. And I guess I'll add that, you know, he is an intriguing player, but I actually am equally excited as I am for Niblack with Holden Stace, Notre Dame tight end. And he's a guy I did draft in a league just very end of the draft, like, needed a tight end flyer, wanted some upside. And we know what Notre Dame does as far as producing tight ends. And so many cases were like, well, draft a player, not the team, or, you know, don't draft a guy just because he landed on the right team. But ultimately I saw the competition there. I'm like, I'm just not sure that any of those guys are going to be it. And Holden Stays, he has the size, he has the athleticism. He was a solid four-star tight end recruit. I mean, he was a pretty good tight end recruit coming out, and now he's flashed really big time. Like, for example, he had a touchdown in the first game, then not really much in the second, and then third game in, he just really starts to go off for 115 yards and two touchdowns. I get it. Is he going to do that every week? Yeah. Probably not, right? I mean, that'd be an insane pace, but NC State, they're no joke competition wise. So at the end of the day, we're going to see a little bit better Notre Dame team than at least in some years past. I think that from a quarterback play standpoint, very competent there. Their passing game doesn't really have a lot of proven wide receivers. Could Holden Stays take on a bigger and bigger role as he, you know, really gets more comfortable in that starting job in his second season? I think so. So there's upside there. Again, is he going to be a stud right away? No, I think it takes these guys time. And that should be kind of what you take away from this podcast tonight, is that, you know, these guys, we should be paying attention to them breaking out, but by no means hang on to that and ignore everything else they do this season because they had one good game. Like, yeah, let's continue to evaluate as we see more and more of that sample, but at least there's some reason for optimism for some of the guys we talked about tonight, including Holden Stace.
Yeah, I like that call too. And I do have him behind Niblack, but he's not that far behind him. So, you know, like you said, he's definitely somebody to keep on your radars there. That's it. I'm going to go ahead and jump over to the Full Tilt Devi pod now. And so hopefully you guys will follow me over there. But like I said, you know, hopefully this was a deeper dive into some of the younger players, you know, get to know some of these names, whether you add them, you know, star them, do whatever. Because at some point, I would say a handful of these players probably will be viable, Debbie viable, when it's all said and done. And so, you know, it's definitely something you want to keep an eye on. who takes that next step, like that kind of thing. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this one. We don't want to always bring you the same big names that everyone's talking about, all that kind of stuff. So we dove a little bit deeper here, but appreciate you guys listening. We will be back as soon as possible. Actually, definitely not next week, because we did this one a little earlier because, like I said, I'm going over to Duluth, Minnesota next weekend to join Aaron in the festivities and everything. But then we will be back. Or actually, I don't know if Aaron's going to. You guys are going on a honeymoon and all that kind of stuff, so who knows? I might have to do a solo pod, or maybe I could bring somebody on to join me after that as a replacement. And we'll figure all that out. But we appreciate you guys listening. But for now, we're going to go ahead and cash out. See you.